is found in Psalm 23. If you're following along in your pew Bibles, it's page 474. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God makes me lie down in green pastures. God leads me beside still waters. God restores my soul. God leads me in right paths for God's name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like us to read another scripture reading that's not in your bulletin, but you can read along with me if you'd like. It's from Romans chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 3 to verse 11. I'm going to read from a version called the Common English Bible, so it'll be a little bit different than what is in your pew Bible. So if you'd like to just listen, feel free, or you can follow along. I actually don't know the page number. Does anybody have that? Romans 6. Page 146, if you want to follow along. Starting in verse 3, this is Paul talking about baptism. Don't you know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried together with him through baptism into his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too can walk in newness of life. If we were united together in a death like his, we will also be united together in a resurrection like his. This is what we know. The person that we used to be was crucified with him in order to get rid of the corpse that had been controlled by sin. That way we wouldn't be slaves to sin anymore, because a person who has died has been freed from sin's power. But if we died with Christ, we have faith that we will also live with him. We know that Christ has been raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. He died to sin once and for all with his death, but he lives for God with his life. In the same way, you also should consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive for God in Christ Jesus. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. That's a mouthful because that's Paul. So we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But this, in the month of May, we've decided and wanted to focus a little bit on Psalm 23 for our time of reflection. And last week, we talked a little bit about Psalm 23 and imagining ourselves as sheep, sheep of the Good Shepherd, not just any shepherd. We have a lot of choices, a lot of shepherds out there, but not just any shepherd, but this poet who is writing Psalm 23 is talking about the Good Shepherd we know as Yahweh, who leads us along right paths and wants us to rest beside still waters. We're in a time right now where there is a storm raging in our country. We find ourselves fatigued and overwhelmed, pulled this way and that. And so the urgent question for us, I think, in these times is where I'm feeling is where we are, is this question of where are we going to feed ourselves? Where are we going to find nourishment? Will we consider or think about ourselves as sheep of this Good Shepherd? The poet writing this psalm has invited us to imagine ourselves as sheep of this Good Shepherd in the first few verses of the psalm. But then abruptly the scene changes in verse 4. All of a sudden we have become travelers on a dangerous road. We are walking now through the valley of the shadow of death, says the psalmist. There is nothing safe about this road. There is a lot of threat and a lot of danger. And I think this poet who is writing this psalm is teaching us right there in that verse that danger, that evil, and crisis are part of the life of faith. The life of faith does not prevent us from experiencing the shadow of death. God does not promise that when we believe or put our faith in God, or that when we are baptized, or that when we think we're making the right decisions, or that when we're doing our very best, that we are somehow sheltered from walking through death's valley. In fact, sometimes it is precisely because of our baptism, because we are trying to follow the Good Shepherd, because of our faith, that we will find ourselves in the dark valley. We ought to expect that a decision to be actively resisting the powers of evil and oppression in our world is going to have consequences. It's going to take us toward danger, not away from it. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not if I walk through the valley, but when I walk, assuming that there are times that I will walk in the shadow of death, the promise that this writer is leaning on is not a guarantee of a sheltered life with the shepherd. The promise is the guarantee that the shepherd will be my companion when I walk through death's valley. The poet says, "For you are with me." And notice how the shift, there's a shift that happens in verse 4. The poet stops talking about God and is now talking to God. The speech moves from third person to second person. The poet begins referring to God as you. You are with me when going through the valley of the shadow of death. It is the presence of God on this road that changes the circumstances of the journey. It doesn't make the road less dangerous or hostile, but what the poet is saying to us as a witness is that even in the valley of the shadow of death, we are somehow more cared for than we thought. At first, it may seem that Psalm 23 and Romans 6 are not really related at all. Certainly, the mode of speaking is very different. The poet is writing about the companionship of Yahweh, the shepherd. Paul is trying to get behind and explain the mystery of what happens at baptism. But I do think that there is some connection here, and I want to try to get at it. If I were to try to paraphrase what Paul is saying in Romans 6, it would be to say that he's really trying to explain that baptism is about dying before you're dying, or dying before you're dead, so to speak. When you go down into the water, Paul says, you are dying with Christ. When you go into the water, you're dying with Christ, and you're dying to the powers of sin and the powers of evil in this world that seek to captivate you. And then when you come out of the water, you are coming alive again into the newness of life with Christ. So baptism is this imitating of the death and the life, the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, and that we are imitating that with Christ. It's an amazing and powerful act that we do. But this is what baptism does not mean. It does not mean that you will never experience the power of evil and sin again. It does mean that the power of evil and sin will not define you or control you. You've died to that power. It's not that sin is gone, it's that, in Paul's words, you're not enslaved to sin anymore. And I think this is not too unlike the shift we have in verse 4 of Psalm 23. The life of faith does not promise that death's valleys will disappear, but that when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, You have the companionship of the shepherd who is always seeking to lead you on right paths. It is the presence of God that changes the circumstances of our journey. But there is more to baptism. Baptism is also about the power of the companionship of the rest of the baptized community. The powers of sin and of evil are strong, and so the one who is about to be baptized needs the community to guide and accompany them on learning to live in this newness of life. The baptized person needs the community to remind them of their primary identity as a child of God, as Lucinda was speaking to the children about. Not a slave to the powers of this world or to the storms of this world or to death's valleys that we go through, but to remind the child that they are a child of God. Maybe this all sounds a little bit lofty, which it is a little bit, because we're trying to talk about something that is mysterious. It's a holy mystery. It's why we call it a sacrament. But I want to try to break it down just a little bit more. Our culture is going to try and is going to teach Elizabeth, for example, that because her skin is white, she is better and more valuable than people who have dark skin in our country. She is born into a culture with structures and systems in place that will teach her this. This is an example of the power of evil and the power of death working in our world. But in her baptism, we are witnesses to her dying to those powers, and we as her community are making promises to help her live into her calling as first and foremost a child of God, and that racism doesn't have the final claim on her or on us. And we are going to teach her about another way. Our culture is also going to teach Elizabeth that because she has a female body, and if she identifies as female later in life, or maybe as trans later in life, she will receive messages from our culture that still teach her that she is the property of men, that her body and her voice is not as important as a man's voice. But we're going to make promises to her in this baptism to help her live into her primary identity as a child of God, that her voice is valued and heard. Our culture is also going to teach Elizabeth that in order to be successful, she has to have a lot of money, and she has to accumulate land and wealth for herself, and that she has to look out for herself as number one. But we're going to make promises to help her find her true identity as being a child of God. And that the way of Jesus calls us to share and ensure that the banquet table is open to others, even others we don't like or agree with. We are going to help Elizabeth find her true definition as a child of God. We're going to help her learn Psalm 23, and we will pray that one day she will find herself living into verse 4 of that psalm, that she will shift from speaking about God to speaking to God as her shepherd, and that she will find the companionship of the good shepherd on her journey throughout her life. We are going to teach her this, and we're going to covenant and promise to be with her on this journey. Baptism is about dying to the powers of death, like Jesus did, and rising to new life in Christ. It means making an unbelievable faith claim, really, that the power of evil and sin will not define her or control us. They will not define Elizabeth and control her. And all of us are called to remind her of this and to live into this truth of baptism, that we are not bystanders of this event, but we are participants in this event. We are called to be the church and to help Elizabeth learn to live into her primary identity as a child of God. After we baptize Elizabeth, we're going to walk around. I'm going to walk her around in a circle so everyone can get a moment to connect with her. And we don't do that to parade her around and show her off, but we do that so that you can look into Elizabeth's eyes and remember the promise that you've made to her to help her live into her baptism. And remember your own baptism, that you have also gone through these waters and that you are also part of this community that needs help and is giving help. So we will do this in just a few moments, and let us remember that Elizabeth still needs our help to remember that the presence of the Good Shepherd in her life changes the circumstances of her journey. We are glad that God is with us. and that we are not alone. Thanks be to God.